This is the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths. Our subject for this program, Times of the Gentiles. The hope for the future of the human family is as bright as the promises of God. Yet a friend of mine quoted to me Luke chapter 21 and verse 24 and has asked me to have you explain it. The text reads, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." But first, I want to tell our friends that this frank and earnest program is brought to them by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with many Bible study groups, and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. And now, Ed, what are the times of the Gentiles, and how is Jerusalem trodden down until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled?
This is a prophecy of Jesus in which he mentions both Jews and Gentiles. It is necessary to remember that when Jesus was on earth at his first advent, the nation of Israel, symbolized in this prophecy by the name of their capital city, Jerusalem, was a subject nation to the Roman Empire, which of course was a Gentile power. Jesus described this servitude as being trodden down by the Gentiles, and said that this situation would continue until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Does the Bible indicate how long a period the times of the Gentiles is and when it began?
Yes, it does, Russell. Not in so many words, but definitely enough so there can be no mistake about it. It began with the overthrow of the last Jewish king, Zedekiah, which was in the year of 606 B.C. And other prophecies show that the times of the Gentiles ended in 1914.
And Jesus said that Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. You say they are now fulfilled according to this prophecy. That will mean that now the nation of Israel should again have its independence.
And that's just the way it is, Russell. Israel has been reborn. It has its own government, its own land, and is a full-fledged member of the United Nations, thus no longer trodden down by Gentile nations.
But, Ed, that is only of recent developments, whereas you said the times of the Gentiles ended way back there in 1914.
That's true enough, Russell, but we should remember that it was a direct result of the First World War, which began in 1914, that Palestine was opened to the Jews. And while they've had many harrowing experiences, including the Six-Day War and other experiences with Middle East nations, the Israeli government is a reality, and historians will record that the events which began in 1914 led up to this great accomplishment.
And how about that? Isn't that wonderful? Prophecy has always been interesting to me.
But getting back to our prophecy, Babylon was a world power in 606 B.C. when the times of the Gentiles started. Nebuchadnezzar was their Gentile king. It was under his rulership that the Israelites were made a subject people.
Was that the same Nebuchadnezzar who had a wonderful dream which was interpreted for him by the prophet Daniel?
That's right. Do you recall the dream, Russell?
Well, I think I do, Ed. I'll try. The king, I remember, dreamed that he saw a human-like image or statue with a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, and then feet of iron intermingled with clay. And then, as I remember, a stone smote the image on its feet, breaking it to pieces. After this, the stone grew until it became a great mountain, which filled the whole earth. Is that about it?
That's right. Daniel's explanation was that this image pictured Gentile dominion, beginning with Babylon, as represented by the head of gold, and continuing to the 10 toes of the image.
The Roman Empire split up more or less, though, did it not?
That's right, and this is illustrated by the 10 toes of the image. They clearly represent the 10 original cleavages of the Roman Empire as they existed in Europe prior to 1914. Since then, these 10 kingdoms of Europe have mostly crumbled to their fall.
Because the times of the Gentiles ended in 1914.
That's right.
And the stone, which Daniel says, was cut out of the mountains without hands. What does that represent?
Well, Daniel explained that this stone, which smote the image on its feet and afterward grew to be a great mountain which filled the whole earth, foreshadowed the kingdom of Christ. The fact that this stone was cut out of the mountain without hands indicates that Christ's kingdom will not come into power by means of selfish human intrigue, but by the sovereign will and almighty power of God. It was this power which was foreshadowed as destroying the Gentile kingdoms of the old world.
Ed, since now we see the Israelites being restored and the old world monarchies being eliminated, this may mean that God's hand is in the affairs of men today in a very remarkable manner.
And that's very true, Russell. More true than we're able to fully grasp. And best of all, it means that the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," will very soon be answered. Then the Jews and the Gentiles will all be able to enjoy the blessings of everlasting life promised to them through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, the great Messiah.
Well, certainly the Lord knew how to get Israel back to the promised land when his due time came. That is, when the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled, as you have explained. But you know, Ed, there is a sadness to it just the same when we think of the millions who lost their lives in that bitter persecution.
Well, that's true enough, Russell, but in the great economy of God, that won't be a permanent loss.
What do you mean by that? They are dead, aren't they?
Russell, our understanding of God's loving provision for Israel, and as a matter of fact, for the entire world, would come far short of reality if we failed to take into consideration the fact that it calls for a resurrection of the dead. In Acts chapter 24, verse 15, the Apostle Paul reminds us that it was the hope of ancient Israel that there would be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust.
Now, thanks for reminding me of that, Ed. Actually, the promise of life from the dead means that there is hope for all who have suffered and died, not only as a result of persecution and war during these distressing years of our generation, but during the entire 6,000 years man has been upon the earth. The hope of life from the dead, then, means that all these millions are to be adequately compensated for all the suffering through which they have passed.
Yes, Russell, nothing short of life from the dead will fulfill the promises of God to wipe away the tears from the faces of all mankind. If our faith can lay hold upon such a bright prospect, it will mean much to us in these distressing times to which we're now living.
Yes, Ed, we should have faith in God's promises. For a solution to the problems of the nations is dependent upon the power of God.
Yes, and one of the most significant of all the developments in fulfillment of prophecy is the rebirth of Israel. and the returning of the Israelites to Palestine. This and related facts are brought out clearly in the little book, The Hope of Israel and the World. Will you tell our listeners how to get The Hope of Israel and the World?
I'll be glad to, Ed. Friends, you may get The Hope of Israel and the World simply by writing for it. It's free. Let me read a sentence from the last paragraph of this little book. I quote, "His love has made provision for the blessing of all nations, and His power will brook no interference with the outworking of His kind designs toward all the families of the earth." That's the end of the quotation. Here in a few words is the theme of the thrilling message of this little book, The Hope of Israel and the World. It cites one after another wonderful promises of God which are being fulfilled in our day, not only as they relate to the state of Israel, but to world developments as well. Send for your free copy today. Simply address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, for your convenience. Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the free book entitled The Hope of Israel and the World, and it will be sent to you by mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.